Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In times of crisis, we cry out to God, like the man in Jesus' day who saw his crisis faith become contagious faith. Jesus did many miracles to encourage our belief. We too can have contagious faith, faith that takes Christ at his word. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on seven convincing miracles taken from the Gospel of John. Today, we're in John chapter 4, learning about Jesus, Lord of time and distance.
You know, when you're really turned on to Jesus and you've experienced his blessing and his miracles, it's actually hard to be quiet about him. It's difficult. He whom we love, who has done so much for us, who has washed our sins in his own blood, who has made us a family of kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. How can it be their mouths are so silent to the one who has redeemed us at such high cost and blessed us with blessings that are innumerable? You know, the bottom line of this passage, of course, is that what we should do is to believe Jesus. To believe Jesus and go on believing him because we honor him. We honor Jesus by believing him even though there's evidence to the contrary. There's evidence to the contrary. Maybe I can help us as we summarize what this passage is all about by pointing out that, first of all, a great faith does not need signs and wonders. Great faith does not need signs and wonders to sustain it. You know, years ago there was a group of people who said, what we need in the church is more signs and wonders, and then we'll have more believers. If we could raise the dead, if we could heal the sick, if we could turn some water into wine, more people would believe. I really don't think that's true, and I'll tell you why. Number one, because the unbelieving mind is always going to find some alternate explanation anyway. Surely those who know Christ as Savior, they might believe, but generally speaking, the darkened mind does not see light because they see miracles. They see anomalies that need other explanations. You know, what's interesting is during the days of the Reformation, it was this business of miracles that was thrown into the face of the reformers. You see, the Roman Church said this. The Roman Church said, we are right because we have the miracles. So they taunted the reformers and said, where are your miracles? Rome said, we have statues that weep. We have relics that multiply themselves. And you don't have any of that. You know what the reformers said? The reformer says that the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. That there are those who seek signs and wonders. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, but we preach Christ, and that it is through the proclamation of the gospel that Jesus died for sinners, that the veil is taken away from people's hearts. The Holy Spirit is given content by which he may ignite the deadness of the human heart and grant the ability to believe, and that that is really the gospel itself that is the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel authenticates its own message, the reformers said. So great faith can survive without signs and miracles. Let me tell you something else about great faith. It can even survive without specific answers to prayer. Back before China was closed in 1949 and missionaries were in China, there was a missionary couple whom I came to know many years later who have long since gone to heaven. But they had a sick child high in the hills in the mountains of China, and they had no way to get to a doctor and for help because their only means of transportation was the river, and it was so dry that the river could not flow and therefore boats could not travel. So they knew that, you know, what you really needed was a good rain, and that's all that was necessary for that river to begin to rise. So they would pray as their son had a fever, just like this boy. And they would pray and they'd say to God, please send some rain so that we might be able to get help for the boy who languished with a high fever day after day. Well, there was no rain, none. And then the little boy died. And this missionary couple says that soon after he died, they went out of the house and rain was splashing against their face and a downpour came, and in a few hours the river could be navigated. What would you do if that were you? Would you become cynical? Would you say, well, God, if that's the way you run your world, you're slapping me in the face to give us rain right after it's no longer necessary. Where were you when we needed that rain? Would you turn from him? It's one possibility. There are people who do that. Or you could do what this couple did and say, in effect, in the words of the song, my Jesus, as thou wilt. Oh, may my will be thine. Into thy hands of love we will our all resign. The Lord gives a child. The Lord takes a child. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, that couple, bless them, they've gone on to heaven. They've been reconciled with a little boy that died there in China. And if they could come back, they would tell us it is worth it all, you know, at the end of the day. Because Jesus does know what he's doing, and it is worth it all. And especially if you go on hanging in, because remember, faith not only grasps at that which God is willing to do for us, but faith is willing to accept whatever God gives us, even if it is not our choice. Faith bows and says, let the will of God be done. Wow. And that faith is honoring to God. I want to conclude today by saying that great faith begins with a great miracle. Because, you know, there is a greater miracle that I've participated in than the healing of a child. I've never seen a healing quite like the one that's referred to here in John chapter 4, but I know of a greater miracle. You see, this was a great miracle. You say, well, what could be greater than that? Oh, my friend, you haven't even begun to know what could be greater than that. Not even begun. This little boy, bless him, he grew up, and you know what happened to him? Somewhere along the line, he died. We don't know how old he was, but he's not living over in Israel anymore. Some people have been there, and they tell us that there's nobody there who's 2,000 years old. You know, the wine that was turned, the water that was turned into wine, that wine was drunk. Somebody enjoyed it, and it lasted a couple of days because there was so much of it. But, you know, that was over, and you can go to Cana today, and you've got to buy your wine in Cana. Well, those miracles weren't eternal miracles. They were done for the purpose of proving that Jesus was the Son of God, but they weren't the eternal miracle. The great miracle, you see, is the miracle of creation, when God creates within us a new heart. Now, that's the miracle, you see, that goes on forever. It's the miracle of taking people in trespasses and sins. It's the miracle of people who are downcast and people who have sinned miserably and ruined their lives. It's the miracle of God's intervention to save them and to give them a new heart and to have them learn that their names have been written in heaven from the foundation of the world. Now that's the miracle. That's the miracle. And that's the miracle that you and I participate in. And even if you go through life and you never see a miracle like this, you need to know that there is a miracle in which you can participate. And many of you have, but some of you have not. You have not experienced the new birth. You've not experienced what Jesus talked about. And then what you do is you hang on to the promises that he gives us that are universal for everyone. In the preceding chapter, the most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, isn't that a wonderful promise? And that promise is for all those who want to receive it. And what you do is you believe it and you accept it. You believe it by its bare word of Christ. Without any visible miracles, you simply say, Jesus said it, I hang on to it. And you know that you can come to him and your faith does not have to be great. It may become great someday, but it doesn't have to start that way. Charlotte Elliott wrote a song, and her brother, who is a minister, said, you know, my sister, through writing that poem, did more good than all of my sermons. That's a humbling thing for a pastor to have to say. But maybe he's right. She wrote the words, just as I am, and remember what one of the stanzas said. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. You come as you are. You come with your doubts. You come even with crisis faith. And it ends being confident faith and credible faith and contagious faith. But you come to the only one who can do the miracle you need. Let's join together in prayer. Our Father, we want to thank you today for your goodness to us, for the opportunity that we have had to remind ourselves of a marvelous miracle. The fact that Jesus spoke a word and a boy was healed. Thank you that we know that he is the Son of God. Thank you that he qualifies to be called such. Thank you that he is not only a miracle worker, but he is the Savior. He is the Lord. He is God. We pray today for those who are discouraged. Draw them close to you. As you refine our faith, we pray today that you might make us confident that your promises are true. Father, do in our hearts all that you desire. Do not stop working. Do not stop working. We invite your blessed Spirit to grant us the faith and the ability to go on believing. Oh, help us to honor you through faith in your most holy promises, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Lutzer. Recently, we as a church have been in touch with a woman who has told us that the reason she has not trusted Christ as Savior is because she fears being disappointed. Well, we've been trying to instruct her that if you come to Christ in faith, even though your faith is small, it may be the size of a grain of mustard seed, that it is not really the amount of faith, it is the one in whom the faith is placed that makes the difference. We think of this nobleman who had as great faith as one of us could ever imagine having. Because after all, he continued to believe in Jesus and believed that Jesus would heal his boy. And then he trusted Christ's bare word. I'd love to be able to have faith like that. But God grows that kind of faith. We begin with small faith, and then it gets bigger. And the Bible does say that without faith, it is not possible to please God. Now, let me today put my arms around you and encourage you to come to God. Your faith is small. Your faith has been wounded because of disappointment. Your faith seems to have to crawl over a mountain in order to amount to anything. Come as you are. Like Charlotte Elliott wrote, come tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt. But my friend today, please, please come.
Today, Erwin Lutzer wrapped up Jesus, Lord of Time and Distance, his third message on 7 convincing miracles. Next time, tune in for a message on Jesus, Lord of our impossibilities. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about 7 convincing miracles when you write or call. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church. Thank you.